Hello, this is Ramesh Ruben. I'm a professional trainer and a consultant in accounting, auditing and risk management. The weight and questions on the future of financial reporting for private entities in Malaysia is finally over and answered with the announcement by the Malaysian Accounting Standards Board, MASB, on 14 February 2014, whereby all private entities shall apply the MPAS for its financial statements beginning on or after 1 January 2016. Replacing the current private entity reporting standards or PERS. In this podcast, I will share on the key differences between MPERS and the IFRS for SMEs, as well as MPERS with the existing PERS or PERS. Firstly, let's explore the MPERS framework against the IFRS for SMEs. The MPERS is based on the IASB's International Financial Reporting Standards for small and medium-sized entities, issued in July 2009, except for the amendments made in the following sections. Section 1, Private Entities. Section 1 has been modified to prescribe the applicability of the MPERS in the Malaysian context. In this regard, all references to SMEs and public accountability in sections 1 to 35 has been replaced by the term private entities and deleted respectively. Section 9, Consolidated and Separate Financial Statements. Section 9 requires the ultimate Malaysian parent to prepare consolidated financial statements regardless of whether its ultimate parent that is not incorporated in Malaysia prepared consolidated financial statements. Consolidated financial statements would provide users with more relevant information as opposed to separate financial statements, as entities on its own may be very small with limited or specified activities. Section 29, Income Tax. Section 29 has been revised in accordance with the requirements of MFRS 112, Income Taxes. Section 29 of the IFRS for SMEs is based on the IASB's March 2009 Exposure Draft Income Tax, because it was expected to amend IAS 12 Income Taxes. However, the IASB did not finalize it. In addition, the IASB Exposure Draft on Proposed Amendments to the IFRS for SMEs, issued in October 2003, has also proposed to align Section 29 of the IFRS for SMEs with IAS 12. Section 34, Specialized Activities. Section 34 has been amended to provide guidance on the accounting for property development activities based on FRS 201 Property Development Activities. Consequently, Example 12, Agreements for the Construction of Real Estate, contained in the appendix to Section 23 Revenue of the IFRS for SMEs, which incorporates the principles of IFRIC 15, Agreements for the Construction of Real Estate, has been deleted by MASB. Next, let's look at the key differences between MPERS and PERS. Under the PERS framework, an entity prepares a single income statement. However, under MPERS, an entity is to present its total comprehensive income either in a single statement of comprehensive income or in two statements, i.e. an income statement and a statement of comprehensive income, somewhat similar to MFRS. Besides that, currently, private entities present a statement of changes in equity as part of their full set of financial statements. However, under MPERS, an entity is allowed to present a single statement of income and retained earnings, provided that the only changes to equity during the periods arise from profit or loss, payment of dividends, correction of prior period error, and changes in accounting policies. There are also differences in terms of measurement and recognition of certain financial statement line items. For property, plant and equipment, the current PERS allows a cost or revaluation model for measurement or recognition. However, under MPERS, only a cost model is allowed. The revaluation model option has been removed. In terms of investment property, the current PERS allows investment property to be measured and recognized either as property, plant and equipment under MASB 15 or long-term investment valued using cost or revaluation model under IAS 25. However, under MPERS, the investment property is measured at fair value if this can be done without excessive cost. If fair value is undeterminable, the investment property is treated as property, plant and equipment under Section 17. For capitalized development costs, PERS allows capitalized development costs to be treated as an asset if the necessary conditions are satisfied and is amortized over its estimated useful life. However, under MPERS, capitalized development costs are treated as an expense. For borrowing costs, the PERS allows borrowing costs to be capitalized. However, under MPERS, all borrowing costs are no longer allowed to be capitalized and they are expensed off. Under PERS, there is no explicit accounting treatment for financial instruments. However, under MPERS, financial instruments creeps back into accounting and financial reporting, even though it's not as extensive as those contained in the MFRS framework. It covers both financial instruments such as cash, demand and fixed deposits, receivables and payables, debt instruments, loans and so forth, as well as more complex financial instruments referred to as other instruments, such as investments in convertible and putable ordinary and preference shares, options, forwards, swaps, and other derivatives. It also covers hedge accounting. Essentially, it prescribes an amortized historical cost model for basic financial instruments, except for equity investments with quoted price or readily determinable fair value. These are measured at fair value through profit or loss. Complex financial instruments, on the other hand, will be measured using fair value through profit and loss, besides having to fulfill certain criteria to qualify for hedge accounting, as well as measuring hedge effectiveness. MPERS provides an option to follow MFRS 139 instead of the prescriptions of MPERS for financial instruments. However, disclosure requirements will have to be done in accordance with MPERS instead of MFRS disclosures. Thank you.